The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Ro. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Ro. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Ro. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We continue with the countdown of the NFL schedule. And we'll talk more about the Cowboys' schedule and which games have the power to change how you look at them, maybe shift your expectations coming up at 4:20. Woolchuck's on his way in. If you're on Woolchuck's Twitter, he's got his updated schedule projections, the latest one coming about 30 minutes ago. He thinks he's got 14 of the 17 games wired. Okay, so we'll get Woolchuck's thoughts on that here in the next 45 minutes or so, Chief.
Which should make the next three games pretty easy to figure out.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you have an open week on the Woolchuck schedule here after they go back-to-back road games. So, of the three remaining teams you have, who you plan at home,
yeah,
that's Arizona. So, maybe week eight's Arizona, week nine's the Colts.
I think he's hoping for a couple of more leaks that could allow things to fall into place. So, by the time we get to 7 o'clock in 2 hours and 55 minutes,
we'll beat him to the punch.
I think he might have it locked for you, so you got to stick around here. It's time for a news bag. Here's the Chief.
Yeah, I think the World Cup fans are going to be pretty excited about this one here, right after this.
You're rolling with the News Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Also got a little Caleb Downs update here from Khaki Kevin Walker that I will share with you. We were talking about the idea of him being a blitzer, a pass rusher at times, a jack-of-all-trades sort of hybrid player in Christian Parker's scheme. I will give you some of his numbers here from his time at Ohio State. But behold, ladies and gentlemen, have you seen this, Lucius? I sent it into your DMs. The Miller Time MVP match ball. This is a soccer ball made of Miller Lite, okay? And it might just be the most prestigious trophy of the tournament here as the World Cup rapidly approaches. And so you have Miller Lite giving you the chance to score a Miller Time MVP match ball. It's about 50% larger than a standard soccer ball that holds up to 12 Miller Lite cans, and it comes with a display stand and is reloadable. Okay, so you don't get the beer in the ball.
Okay.
But imagine a soccer ball, and then you have different slots all throughout the ball where you can hold Miller Lite beer cans.
Okay? So you slide in the full beers, almost like it's – is this a cooler? Is this a soccer ball cooler that you slide beers into?
Okay, that's what I want it to be. And all the stories that I'm seeing on it, nobody's specifying like, oh yeah, and this keeps your beer cold. I'm assuming that's why you would want to do this. You put 12 cold beers into this cool soccer trophy looking thing, just a soccer ball.
That's a koozie, but it's got 12 slots in it.
It's got 12 slots in it.
Yeah.
And so it looks really, really cool. It's limited edition. It's going to drop online on May 20th. Okay. And then they will drop it again on June 3rd. So I think this is going to be kind of a, you know, while supplies last situation. I don't imagine that they have a ton of these. But on May 20th and then on June 3rd on the Miller Lite website, you'll be able to purchase one of these things. Now, guess the cost of it. Have you seen it, Lucius?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty cool. Definitely a collector's item.
Definitely a collector's item, right? Like, even if you're not, even if you're like, I'm not a Miller Lite guy, or I'm just not a beer guy in general, if you're a soccer fan or just a sports fan at all, having this up on some sort of mantle, man cave style thing, like, that's a cool thing to have.
Even as we're questioning its functionality, is this going to make your beer drinking experience better? I don't know.
I don't know.
It might just make your beers warm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. How do the beers stay in there? You see how it's like there's some on the bottom of it?
I know, because it's a it's a 360 deal. So you ultimately have some beers hanging upside down, which probably can't be great for the fizzy nature.
No. But it's going to agitate.
But by the time you're on beer number 10, 11, 12, you probably don't much care. You're Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that beer's just flowing.
So, imagine.
What do you think this costs? Eyeball it.
$79.
Lucius, what do you...
$200.
Oh, you guys are about to be so excited, dude. $19.75.
Let's go.
Reflecting the year 1975, Miller Lite was created.
Now I feel like it's going to be kind of cheaply made.
Okay. That's the other side.
Too light.
Yeah, you get what you pay for kind of thing.
That you're probably never going to want to put beers in there because the first time you pull one out, the stitching's going to pop. And now your Miller Lite soccer ball for the World Cup is ruined. But I love this kind of commemorative stuff, especially because the tournament only comes around every 4 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, $20, I would gladly part with that. You know, I'm running into World Cup stuff right and left now, and I feel like it's trying to vacuum my checking account up even before the tournament starts.
Oh, yeah. Every time you turn around, there's a World Cup something or other. Hey, buy this for the small price of $89.99. It's a T-shirt.
Yeah, we got a T-shirt. We got a polo. We got little stuffed animal, World Cup stuffed animals. Oh. They're trying to get you $20-$30. So.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But this is cool. This is cool. I'd buy this.
I think I'm saving all my money, though, trying to get into games. And, like, the minimum get-in price is starting to hover around $500. We need the market to fall out of that thing over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And I don't know. I haven't, the only thing I've seen is just that the hotels in all of the cities that are going to be hosting have been a little underwhelmed with the amount of bookings. So
yeah.
I don't imagine there's as many people coming from overseas to try and attend some of these games. So I would imagine like you just hop on there 24 hours before the game or something like that, snag a ticket.
That's what I'm thinking.
Is that kind of your plan?
That is. Because
you're just trying to get into the building for one of these matches. You and your daughter?
Any games that I can do, yes, without having to spend four figures.
Yeah. You know? That's the goal.
I've given up on watching the top teams play or USA play. That's not going to happen. I'm not dropping $3,000 for me and Abby to go to a game.
It's just simply not in the budget, man.
No.
It's not in the budget. And how could it be? All right, Walchuk just gave me the OTW text. All right, he's buzzing in from young Eliza's little, just awfully timed, scheduled recital.
Yeah.
Who's putting a recital in the middle of the afternoon in the middle of the week? Like, how many parents are sitting at work right now bummed that they didn't get to see their kid perform? I don't know. That's a Saturday. At the very least, that's a Friday night extravaganza.
Yeah.
I'll see you at 7:30.
Yeah, everybody pick up your kids and come back because the recital is tonight at 7:30.
Bang.
After dinner.
Yeah.
Come on back.
Are you kidding me? Like, what's going down here? But glad Walchuk got to make it. He will be here shortly. Now, we were, like I mentioned, we were talking about Caleb Downs and the idea that, man, if he's going to have a big year, he's going to just be doing so many different things. Defensively, Christian Parker's going to be moving him around and playing that hybrid nickel spot. You're going to be doing some blitzing. You're going to be hanging out in the backfield a little bit, hopefully sacking the quarterback. And it's like, how often did he really do that at Ohio State? Now, I believe what we have is this is just for last year at Ohio State in the Fat Patricia defense. Pass rush snaps, the amount of snaps that he was getting after the quarterback, basically, only 20. So they just didn't do it. So when you look at his numbers, you're like, man, he didn't really have. It's like we're projecting that he could be a guy that could get some sacks for you, get some TFLs, stuff like that. Well, it's just not something he was really asked to do at Ohio State. But I think projecting him in Christian Parker's defense, I would expect to see him doing a fair amount of that because Christian Parker, I mean, he's going to be getting creative on it. He is. And it's going to be multiple. He's going to be moving guys around, and he's going to be changing looks at the snap, and part of that's going to be, oh, here comes Caleb Downs flying off the edge, knifing through, and making some plays. So I'm excited for that.
If you only tried it 20 times out of the 800 or 900 snaps, I'm assuming that he played for Ohio State last year, and you have a couple of sacks, like your hit rate is 10%, I think 5 or 6 is within range. If the NFL coach wants to be that aggressive with you.
Right.
You know,
right.
You have to really trust the players around him, the linebackers, essentially, to be able to go get those guys or him to get home. You know, and you just don't know, like, that safety thing, it should be fairly easy, but there is a knack for going after the offensive line has turned their head. There is a brief second where the offensive line is going to not look at you. Can you jump through at that exact second? The running back is going to get distracted. Can you time it up to slice through there, or are you getting picked up? And it's like a sixth sense. There's like a spidey sense
right.
to being that secondary player that can get all those sacks. And you don't know they can do it until they do it. A lot of guys just, you know, they get picked up. I'm imagining Caleb Downs is going to have the combination of preparation and instincts to go get that job done.
Agreed. And then just Christian Parker with the design, creating just good opportunities for him, right? Yeah. Like he's an expert at trying to confuse quarterbacks and offensive linemen. So looking forward to seeing all that kind of stuff. And hopefully we get a rookie of the year for Caleb Downs. Now, elsewhere here at the news desk, how about the police in France? If you're driving around, listen to us on the Odyssey app in France right now. Beware. Warning drivers in rural areas to be on the lookout for drunk deer exhibiting erratic behavior.
Barley fermenting in their gut? What's happening here?
It's the fermented fruits.
Fermented fruits.
They're getting after it. We've seen this before with some, I can't remember which animal it was, but there was a story maybe last year where there were some animals that were getting hammered from fermented foods of some kind. And that's what's happening right now in France with the deer. Can you imagine? I mean, the deer in the middle of the road is the all-time disaster. How many nightmares have been caused by a deer trotting through the streets?
Oh.
Now all of a sudden you got a hammered one.
Yeah.
Prancing around. Okay, so just be careful.
That increases your level of difficulty quite a bit. And I think the concern with a deer is it's going to do a tremendous amount of damage to your vehicle.
100%.
You're chalking that up immediately. You're looking at multiple thousands of dollars. But they can kick through your windshield and murder you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like as they go airborne, they're going to look at your windshield as a good landing spot. So, bang, hoof goes right through that, and then they try to escape, and they're kicking the living hell out of you as you're in that seatbelt just in your last moment. You can't escape.
Was this something that you are familiar with, being where you're from?
Yeah.
And just the deer in the Pacific Northwest running around?
They come through your windshield, and they kick the hell out of you.
Golly, that's a bad day.
They're trying to escape. They're trying to get out of there. We had a lot of deer, elk, you know?
Just trying to get to your daughter's mid-afternoon, midweek recital.
Yeah.
And then you get deer antlered right there in the face. Lucius had the story the other day about the bleep hole of the week, who was the Hawaiian tourist who was lobbing rock grenades at the seal, and he got his butt whooped for it. And it looks like this is going federal on him. So
yeah.
he's looking at two different charges that could have him behind bars for 1 year each, so that'd be 2 years, $70,000 worth of fines. So this guy's going to pay the price, and that's exactly what should happen.
I this is probably what a lot of people needed to see, you know, as far as you're over there, you're on vacation, you're cracking a couple of coldies sitting there on the beach, you got a little bit of redneck in you, or maybe crazy Russian. Look like the name, maybe this might be a crazy Russian guy.
Yes, like his name is insane.
Where we're from, a lot of people, if they see wildlife after they're cracking them, that's how they hunt. You know, that's when they do some of their best hunting. And the dumb ideas are flowing. You don't want to do that in Hawaii.
You don't want to do that, dude.
They're getting different agencies on the horn just to see if they have some jurisdiction so they can one-up each other in an attempt to... I mean, the beach justice has already been meted out for this guy.
Yeah, he's going to be in a world of trouble, never to be seeing the beauty of Hawaii ever again.
No, that's a lifetime banning.
And finally here, a little heartwarming story. I do like hearing that Tim Duncan has been repaying Greg Popovich in... very heartwarming way. We know Greg Popovich has dealt with some strokes, some health issues, and apparently throughout the rehabilitation, you have Tim Duncan being like in the gym with him and being like basically by his side throughout his rehabilitation, getting himself back on his feet. So tip of the cap to Timmy D.
Yeah, it's tough to see Greg like that, isn't it?
It is, man. But he's still dialed. Like, you see him after he throws after Wemby throws the haymaker elbow at Naz Reid's neck.
Yeah.
The next day, you see the face-to-face Greg Popovich. He's talking with Wemby, giving him some words of wisdom. They lose game one they lost?
Uh-huh.
He's in the film room, breaking stuff down. Here's how we're going to go about this. Mitch Johnson, you have the whistle. I got the wisdom.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I like that you have that perspective, because I thought, like, watching him walk and then watching him talk a little bit, that maybe he doesn't want to be making public appearances anymore.
Yeah.
But you're confident he's still up for it?
No, well, I mean, I think it's a little bit more behind the scenes. You see, like, a random picture of him talking with Wemby. I don't think he's trying to be in front of eyeballs.
Okay.
But he is trying to assist the Spurs.
All right. Which game on the Cowboys' schedule has the power to shift your expectations of what this team is capable of the most? We'll give you the latest schedule leaks and talk Cowboys football with you coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You know the fan. All right, welcome back. We got a text from Broadus at the break. He said, I think we nailed it or really close, and we're going to get you what Broadus believes to be the Cowboys schedule here in just a moment. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Wolchuk has texted as well. Chief, is this the same sked? Are they projecting the both the same thing?
Yeah, they both have the same team, same time, same days.
I love it. All right, so that's a good sign. We got two sources.
Double
on the schedule.
Source, we can run with it.
It's fit to print. And we'll take your thoughts here on the Frankel injury attorney text line. How do you feel about a Week 14 bye? I love it. Let's get healthy before the playoffs. You know, you're kind of at the mercy of luck. I think strategically, if you're thinking what is the absolute best way for this season to end, it's to get into the playoffs healthy, and the latest possible bye, I think, increases your chances of making that happen. Okay, you're going to open with the Giants. We know that. Week two, Washington. Week three, Baltimore. We knew that. How important is a hot start? I do think it's important to the Jones family to make people believe. And I think it might be important for inside the roster to make them believe.
Well, and I think it's even more important when you just see the teams that you have in the first 2 weeks. Like, you should be able to handle the Giants and the Commanders.
Yeah.
If you're starting with tougher teams, then you kind of understand, okay, we came out of the gates with some difficult opponents. You can maybe chalk it up moral victory like you did last year with the Eagles, right? That first game, it was like, man, hey, the Cowboys were right there. Maybe should have won that game. They lost it, but you still had some confidence. When you start with the Giants and the Commanders, you feel like you should start 2-0.
So, yes, I love that, and I agree. The Cowboys are 2-0 to start the 2026 NFL season, assuming health. But then things could get away from them, Chief. Baltimore week three at home. We'll see how good the Ravens are. I think that's a wild card team right now in the AFC.
Yeah, and that's the neutral site in Brazil. So it's a home game, but it's in Brazil.
You got at Houston, week four.
I think that's important because after the long travel with the Brazil situation, you're burning a road game, but you only have to go to Houston.
We'll take it.
You don't have a huge flight after that.
That's not a bad compromise. Tampa at home. Will Tampa be better or worse than the Cowboys?
I think they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
I think they're in that same sort of tier where you're hoping for the playoffs.
Then at week six, but with a question mark next to it. Broadus has question marks by three of these games. Week six is at Green Bay. I'll take it. I don't know if Micah Parsons will be back. That'll be 10 months after his injury, less than 10 months after the surgery. Sometimes the surgeries can take a couple of weeks after an ACL. But even if he is back, I don't know how close to 100% Micah Parsons is going to be. That's not going to be vintage prime game-wrecking Micah Parsons 10 months removed from tearing his ACL for sure.
Right, especially as we got the news today, as we mentioned at the top of the show, where Micah could be placed on the physically unable to perform list to start the season, missing the first four games. So it could be one of his first games back, but I'm sure if this is what the schedule ends up being, he will have week six circled as, like, I am definitely going to be ready by then.
Broadus texted us his schedule projection. We're 6 weeks in at Philadelphia, week seven. We've been talking about that one for a couple of days now.
Monday Night Football.
Week eight, Arizona. That's the red flag game, just as it was last year. You lost to Arizona, and it lets you know you are complete dog water.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're not legit.
You might be in the process of justifying the losses to Carolina and Chicago because they're trending towards playoff teams here as we get into November of 2025, but you just lost to Arizona. You got to hold that L. And, you know, that was the confirmation. And if it happens, you know, week eight, after you run this gauntlet, you start 2-0, I mean, there's an argument to be made. You could be underdogs in your next five games. So we'll see how they are going into Arizona. Indianapolis is week nine in Indianapolis. That probably give Daniel Jones time to come back.
Yeah, I would think by then Daniel Jones should be available.
San Francisco, week 10. I predicted their downfall last year. I was horribly wrong.
Because they had the Warren Sharp easiest schedule in the league.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it going to be tough again this year?
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick.
We got Tennessee week 11. At AT&T Stadium. They're probably not good yet. Thanksgiving.
The Niners have the eighth easiest schedule in the league this year.
Okay. I mean, they just keep losing guys, but they did last year. You know, McCaffrey's older now. I mean,
Kittle off the injury.
Yeah.
Warner off the injury, even though he's just he's a different breed. He's going to be an animal. But, yeah, they're not the same version of the Niners that you remember from the last time you faced them, for sure. But that's just a team that the Cowboys rarely find success versus. But it's nice to get week 10, 11, and 12 all home games.
Yeah.
Three-game homestand, that's nice.
Yeah, San Francisco, Tennessee, Philadelphia, they're 10, 11, and 12. And – you know, just a final thought on San Francisco, like, is Christian Parker going to help remedy what has been a Cowboys issue with Shanahan coaching tree offenses for a long time? And hopefully that's something that he and the Fangio system can excel in. Not the Fangio system, the Cowboys defense, but definitely influenced by Fangio, amongst others, for Christian Parker. You go to at Seattle on week 13 is Broadus's projection, but that one has a question mark next to it. I don't think that's not a good thing. You know, by the time you get to week 13 in Seattle, it's cold and rainy. And if you're a Southern team, that can be a rude awakening for 3 hours.
Yeah. Now they've shifted gears into, okay, now we're in playoff mode. We got to start really gelling at the right time. At least you get an extra, you play that Thanksgiving, so you get the long break, but then it's also the Monday Nighter. So an extra day of rest if you're trying to spin the tail on the positive.
But, you know, then you get the bye week 14. Love that. Then 15 at the Rams, 16 Jags. That's where your playoff hopes could die. You're coming out of the bye, you're thinking, wow, they really did us a favor. We get to come out of the bye and maybe play the NFC favorite right here, but we got to go to their house. Can we pull that off if your playoff life is on the line? If you can't, the next week you get to host the Jags. I'm assuming they're going to be incrementally better than they were last year. Seems like they got a good momentum, good coaching staff. And then you finish with the Giants at home and you go to Washington. And yeah, assuming that health is equal, not a big believer in Washington for a number of reasons, most of them on defense. And I just don't think one off season is enough to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. And a really great text from a legendary Tolo in the 940. San Francisco always hurt. You know, you see them in week 13, by then they might just be a mash unit.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a team that is always just totally banged up.
Absolutely.
So that could help. I think one of the things, too, is it felt like the offense started to decline a little bit as the season waned. Like the final month or whatever of the season, the offense wasn't quite hitting the way you wanted it to. And so seeing if Javonte Williams and Shoddy and Clayton Adams can continue to evolve throughout the season, where the offense was so amazing and then they kind of started to bog down a little bit. And you saw some good defenses. You saw the Vikings. You saw the Chargers. But when you get late in the season, now it's here's Seattle with Mike McDonald having 10, 12 games worth of film on you.
Yeah.
Like, how are you able to, in the season, continue to sort of reinvent yourself and sustain the offensive dominance throughout the season? You know, where you go Seattle, Rams, you know, those are two defenses that are legit.
You know, one of my thoughts going into this show and this season is just, I'm so curious if Mike McDonald can keep that together, because I think his hat is in for one of the top coaches in the game. If he's not in consideration already, if he follows up that year, winning the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold, with another amazing year where, yeah, your defense is amazing, but it's not a superstar riddled defense. This is a defense full of above average to really good players. Obviously, Nick Amon-Worry was the toast of the NFL last year, and that's the straw that stirs that defensive drink for him. But I'm not sold it's going to happen. I'm not sold it's going to happen for Sam Darnold. I'm not sold they can let Kenneth Walker go, bring in Jadarian Price. And for about the first month or 2 months of last year, Seattle had some big moments, but they looked vulnerable. I don't know. I think they got hot and they were playing their best football at the right time, and they benefited from both conferences being down last year. But I'm not assuming week 13 is going to be a nightmare.
Okay, so you're in Seattle. That's obviously difficult. I do think there's a question about not only just Sam Darnold in general, but now they lose Clint Kubiak, the play caller. So what type of drop does the offense have? I do think you can guarantee, unless they have an onslaught of injuries, that Seattle defense is going to be dominant. I mean, they're going to be legit. So that is something that, even if Seattle maybe isn't like, oh my gosh, clearly championship on one side of the ball offensively, I do think defensively that's going to be a hell of a matchup between the Cowboys offense and the Seahawks defense.
And maybe a combination of a great running game and the best wide receiver in football with Rockwall's, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba doing what he did and looking for an encore performance from a breakout campaign into the absolute top of the wide receiver power rankings in the NFL. How important is a hot start? Threw that out there for you. Again, important to the Jones family. Maybe beating the Cowboys last year was what made the Bears believe. But I don't know if I actually buy it. I think how good you are is more important. Confidence is good, but confidence is fragile, because it's one ass kicking away from totally evaporating, right? And I always remember Kellen Moore's first three games as coordinator under Jason Garrett.
Yeah, they came out just guns ablaze.
The show they put, was it Miami?
It was Miami. That was when Miami was at an all-time low. They were selling off parts. They were just getting mollywopped, and the Cowboys were a part of that.
Put like 45 on them.
Yeah.
And every national publication wrote an article about how Kellen Moore was the next, you know, they were talking about him like we've talked about Ben Johnson the last 3 years. That Kellen Moore was next. Those stories were null and void before the ink even dried. As by the time you got to week 4, 5, and 6, Cowboys reverted back to a boring, stagnant, and stale offense. And, you know, it wasn't the schematic evolution we were hoping for. And we actually had to wait 6 more years and all the way through the Mike McCarthy era before Shoddy and Clayton Adams finally brought it upon these shores. Which game could they win, though, that would change what you think is possible for this football team? I was going to say Rams, but I mean, that's so late. Seattle's so late.
I know. Yeah.
What's the game early in the season? Is it going 3-1? Is it figuring out a way to beat Baltimore or Houston?
Yeah, beating Baltimore or Houston, I think, would go a long way for you, because I'm expecting a Baltimore bounce back. And then Houston's defense, again, it's similar to Seattle. Even if their offense is not going to be overly challenging, their defense is so good. How can you, as an offense, that was something that we always were annoyed by with the Kellen Moore. You talk about those years, or Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy. It's like, yeah, they can look good versus the okay to below average defenses. But when you get a legit defense in here, all of a sudden you look like an offense that doesn't belong on the field. So, and I think they made incremental improvements with that last year, where it's like, hey, Green Bay was a really good defense, especially to start the season, and what'd you put up, 40 points or whatever, yes, in that tie game?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you took steps with Shoddy and Clayton Adams last year for, hey, our offense is legit, and even when we go up against really good defenses, we can still be awesome. It started to wane as the season went on, Chargers, Vikings, but that Houston game, I think, is one, like, man, if you go to Houston and you can put up 24 to 28 points on that defense, That's going to be encouraging.
Yeah, yeah, especially if the tackles are playing better. You know, if you have, hopefully Clayton Adams learned last year about the tackles and how important it is to run more than you're trying to pass protect with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the right plays and more volume of running plays, I think, is something I could look for. But Broadus texted us his projected Cowboys schedule. Moments later, Wolchuk texted the exact same thing. So we believe that is what is most likely going to be revealed when the show starts at 7 o'clock. Our schedule release tailgate continues. We got some fantasy wide receiver rankings. Where are the Cowboys guys and how high would you take them? It's next year on the...
I'm Serena Williams and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan, and Wolchuk has entered the building. A good afternoon to you, sir. Looking good.
Woo. What's up, boys?
Looking like a dad.
Yeah, man.
How was the recital?
It was good.
Nice.
I was proud of Eliza. You know, they did a lot of twirling and up-downs, and, you know, she tried to do the best that she could, but a lot of it was just kind of wide-eyed, smiling, waving, and it was adorable.
Okay, 817 is going to hit you with a hard baseball question as you enter the building.
Oh.
Simeon hit a dong today. He's now hitting above 220. Is it possible we traded the wrong guy to the Mets? That's Adam in Arlington.
Is he referring to he'd rather have traded Seager?
I don't know.
That's right. Yes, I think it's 100%.
No. I mean, in fact, top 10 worst contracts in all of Major League Baseball, we didn't get to yesterday in the bases. We can go through some of it today. But Seager is fifth on the list.
Nothing would warm my heart more than seeing the Rangers score 8 runs a game for the next couple of months. But after that, just watching Simeon have a level of success and being happy playing baseball again, that would do it too.
Yeah.
You know?
It's our guy.
So I hope him nothing but the best, but I strongly feel like Simeon's pretty much washed, and this is probably like one of his last gasps of stretches of playing winning baseball. We got fantasy wide receiver rankings from Sharp Football Analysis. Ooh. Where should be Pickens and Lamb? Where are Pickens and Lamb? They're not number one. That goes to Puka Nacua.
Okay.
I mean, coming off of 1,700 yards and 10 touchdowns, yards per route led the leagues, did a lot of great things. I wouldn't take Nacua. If I'm in a fan, I think there's too much risk with Nacua right now. Like,
yeah,
he's trying to come back after rehab. Is he like one of these guys that might totally crash out? Like sometimes crap just gets off the rails, and I don't need to risk that on my fantasy team.
I get it, man. I get it. Especially if you're taking a guy like number one overall.
Yeah.
In this scenario, there's a lot riding on him. Hopefully he's gotten himself cleaned up and he's feeling fresh and he's got the past in the past by the time we get to week one. But it's been a touch and go 6 months for that guy.
It has.
The injury stuff too.
The injuries.
He's such just a he's a battering ram.
He is. He plays.
You know?
It's just his play style. But yeah. He's tough as hell. The issue is he could be suspended at any minute. I feel like he's one bad run in now to where the league's going to have to throw a suspension on him.
He bites another chick. I mean, it's over.
Oh, my gosh. One more, you know, weird touchdown dance celebration with a TikToker, and he's going to be riding the pine.
I mean, he's an absolute animal as a player. Is part of that the residual of the alcohol the night before? Like, is he kind of playing with a BAC of 0.02, 0.03, and that explains why he's the most feared blocking wide receiver in the game? I don't know. Like, how much does alcohol impact his personality and his play style? I'll let somebody else find that out, at least in round one. Ja'Marr Chase, second highest ranked wide receiver for fantasy purposes. He led the NFL in targets last year with 185.
I was thinking, where's JSN? JSN's got to be pretty high.
He's number three.
Okay.
Yeah, 119 catches, 1793, and 10 touchdowns. That one feels awful safe, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, their second receiver still Rashid Shaheed. They don't have the tight ends. They're going to eat up a bunch of targets. You know, in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow is an injury risk. I think Smith and Jigba might be the play. Amon-Ra St. Brown, number four, as reliable as it comes, and as we unfortunately experienced last year, tough as hell, played through the injury. Justin Jefferson, number five, with Kyler Murray now taking over at quarterback there. I imagine that could go really well. Justin Jefferson might be back on top.
Mm-hmm.
Drake London at six. Wow. In Atlanta. That's interesting. So even Drake
over
London
CD?
With a rough quarterback situation. I think the situation with the Cowboys is just that they're going to cancel each other out.
Yeah,
you know?
And they both were phenomenal last year. Like, I need to pull up where did both finish last season in terms of fantasy rankings. Like, both of them were still, one would get a touchdown, the other would get 100 yards. Basically every game, it would seem like, if not both would score.
Yeah, I think it's just the idea that they're, you know, probably going to end up with 12, 13, 1,400 yards each, and some of these other guys, because of their situations, could go for 17, 18. Lamb was wide receiver 9 in yards per route run, was the key stat that Warren Sharp gave you for Lamb. And then with Pickens at number 9, flourished in his first season with the Cowboys, running the full route tree for the first time, led the team in targets, catches, yards. He was at 14-29 with 9 touchdowns. All those were career highs. 18 targets in the end zone, were tied for second in the NFL. That's big. 53% of his targets resulted in a first down or touchdown, fifth highest rate for a wide receiver last season. 24% of the team's targets with him and Lamb on the field together. So there is a lot to like there. I wonder if you're going to be throwing as much into the end zone out of red zone looks for him next year. Like, if Clayton Adams is trying to optimize, I know what I was saying last year, we're not running enough. We need to get closer to 50-50, and we especially need to run it in the red zone. How about you, Wolchuk?
I'm with you. I think running efficiency would definitely help with that. Javonte Williams inside the red zone, maybe even Dak using his legs. I love that quarterback draw. There's something special about that. Maybe Phil Maffa can give you a little bit of something there. And then Michael Trigg, I feel like, could be the ultimate X factor with his ability to high point the football, the basketball background. I've mentioned it. I've used the comparison to the way he plays is kind of Gates-esque as a receiving tight end. And Antonio Gates was a touchdown machine. So I'm with you on that. It looks like, based on PPR, and if you're not playing PPR, what the hell are you doing in fantasy? You had Pickens finish 5th and CD 9th. So, well, the rankings aren't too far off projecting into this year in that case.
Did you guys see this Mike Evans graphic on Twitter from Baker Muse?
No.
Would Mike Evans be the greatest wide receiver in your franchise's entire history? Obviously, there's 5 categories. Obviously, probably, could argue either way, probably not, and no. There's only 4 teams in no. Niners, Lions, Patriots, and Vikings. I guess that would be Jerry Rice, Megatron. Who's with the Patriots?
The best Patriots wide receiver.
I mean, Romeo Dobbs, they paid a ton of money to.
No, best wide receiver
time.
In franchise history.
Oh, in franchise
time?
History. I mean, Randy Moss, Deion Branch.
Gronk.
David Givens.
Troy Brown.
I mean, maybe they're considering Wes Welker. I'm not sure.
Terry Glenn.
Vikings, obviously, with Randy Moss, full career, and Chris Carter. But anyway, 22 of the teams said obviously. For the Cowboys, they said probably. Mike Evans has had a better career than any Cowboys wide receiver, Wolchuk. Does that offend you?
Yeah, I mean, you're not putting him over Michael Irvin. That's for damn sure. And then even Drew Pearson has Super Bowls to his resume, and I get it's a different era. But no, I mean, what Mike Evans has done statistically is absolutely incredible, but in no world would you put him ahead of Michael Irvin.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. You know, I thought – and if you're just lining him up, you know, you got to control for generation at some point, but like Drew Pearson could be offended by that. You know, I think Mike Evans has accumulated a lot. Obviously, he's a champion as well, but I don't know. I guess I just don't look at him in that same upper echelon, and I don't think I'm being a homer there. We got football's finest coming up next, Chief. Where are you taking it?
Yes, a respected voice is buying in on the Cowboys, and we asked the question, is Shoddy to thank? Next in the Nation.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.